today's episode is sponsored by our premium Patreon subscribers, Madonna Hines with a Sexy J, Chrissy Dougherty, and Mia Hansen Aloha. Thanks.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast that's about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo. I'm your host, Countess Luanne de Lesseps. Actually, it's me, Ben Mandelker, and I have something going on in my throat, so I have my full-on Luanne voice today, and I've never felt so honored. I'm from the Banter Blender podcast and also bsideblog.com, and joining me in full voice and hopefully coming off of a wonderful weekend is the lovable and wonderful and huggable Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. Hey, Ronnie.
Well, hello, Ben.
Would you believe it? I have Luann voice today.
You do. It's verging on Carol voice.
It's. I feel like I'm gonna have this one moment of time where I could do all the Real Housewives of New York voices, and unfortunately today is Atlanta.
And you can write Atlanta. A new Luann song.
I know.
Pick up your plates when you're done. Pick up your plates when you're done. That's etiquette, girls.
That's etiquette. This is not the Plaza Hotel. This is Morocco. I have some tea here today to help me along, but we may just have to have Luann voice the whole hour.
If you tinkle when you sprinkle, be a sweetie and wipe the CD, ladies.
I'm sorry, I have to go see Tommy Toon now. Would you believe it? I'm gonna go see Tommy Toon right in front of Candy Burris.
How please awkward. And thank you, is it so hard?
Now the thing is, if there's ever a time that I need my false, it's when doing Atlanta, because that's my Candy impersonation, and now it's just gonna sound like a croak. This is what my Candy impersonation sounds like. See, see, no, Riley. I can do the bottom part well.
That sounds like Portia.
Oh, I do have a Carol Radswell voice.
I can't do it.
Carol Radswell voice is just Luann doing an impersonation of Candy.
Donald Trump can't win this election. See?
Riley.
Did you notice that part in this reunion episode where they're like the kids of Atlanta? Mm-hmm. And then they had Candy going, Riley, two times in a row.
I know, and that's when a single tear came down my cheek, because I was like, I can't do the voice today. Riley. So, why don't we just, jump into this, the second part of the four-part never-ending reunion.
Oh, my good.
It's all entertaining, I'll tell you that much. I was very entertained.
Yeah, I mean, I loved this season, and so this reunion, this is when it's okay for them to redo every single part of the season a million times, because they have so much happen on this show, I forget half the shit by the end, you know?
Bro, I agree. It's a fun walk down memory lane. Some of the stuff that they show, I'm like, oh, that was this season? I forgot. That was fully, months and months ago when that aired.
It was. And this one is the longest Housewives ever. They give this the most episodes because it has the most viewers.
Yeah.
And man, those two or three extra episodes really screw your brain by the end.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, not only did stuff happen last year, it was 2016, but it was, this is what, episode 24 or something like that. We're almost a half year. We've gone 6 months practically. Which is crazy to think that this show started 6 months ago. Time flies.
It sure does, but it doesn't while it's happening.
No.
I mean, during the season, I was like, really? Do we need to have an episode of Peter driving around a block 20 times?
Peter's broom. Thinking about houses. Thinking about what used to be.
Gonna miss this house.
Gonna miss it. Driver, this is where I used to live. This is where I used to take my wife's money and spend it on warehouses.
The Uber driver's like, look, I know that we don't have meters in here, but I'm not going around the fucking block again, okay? Get it in this shot or we're done. I need to quit.
Actually, here's a little inside pro tip about driving for Uber. You actually would want to drive around the block because you earn more money for driving miles than you do for waiting. So there.
Oh.
Yeah, he would have liked Peter as a customer.
Well, here's another tip. Don't when you're taking someone else home and drop yourself off first, don't just add a trip because that costs a ton more money.
Yeah.
Get out of the car and get a new trip. Those fuckers charged me $25 on Saturday night for going from West Hollywood to my house, where you know that is, to Runyon Canyon. I'm sure.
$25?
Yes.
Was it?
Those cocksuckers. I'm pissed.
Oh, that's crazy. Wait, where was the pickup place again?
West Hollywood.
Oh, that's crazy. And it wasn't. That's crazy. That's something's weird about that. I would complain.
Because I'm a stereotype.
That's weird. That's really weird.
What? Let's get into the Real Housewives of Atlanta before I get really upset about my Uber charge.
Yeah, let's have a surge reunion. Surge pricing on reunion shade.
This podcast will now cost five times the usual fare, which is $0. So
it'll
enjoy.
Be Starbucks. I mean Starburst in the backseat. And you're like, why? Why are you serving this to me?
Yeah, people love serving like Starburst. I think that's one of the only wrapped candies that are ever in the backseat.
It's everywhere. And they smell like, here's the thing. No, I don't really like Starburst, but I think we can all agree that even if you like Starburst, they smell gross. Like when you are in a car where someone's just eating a Starburst, it's just like that weird, like, fruity,
car wash.
Stifling smell, and you're like, ugh. And it's like it reminds you that this car is full of someone's breath. I don't like that.
Sitting in a car with someone's breath and then getting charged $25 goddamn.
God damn it. Let's get to Atlanta.
So we opened where we left off last week, which was Candy and Portia screaming at each other
about the apprentice.
About being supportive on the Celebrity Apprentice. And the Candy cracks me up because she's yelling and crying, but it's about how nice she is.
Yeah.
It's so different for a housewife. I fucking love Candy. She's like, I don't boss to you. I can't. Would you give money $5,000 for what you didn't want to support?
I wanted to support you, Basha. That's weird.
That's
today.
For charity. When are you going to have a lift up Porsche day? When are you going to celebrate me? When is it? Wow, Porsche's here today. Porsche didn't hit anybody today. Yay day. Where's that parade?
Shut up.
When's Six Flags going to open their doors for Porsche? When's Porsche day at Six Flags?
No one is going to be paying to support you at a party. Support Porsche day. She didn't cut somebody with glass for one day. Let's throw her a party. Oh, also, I have to make an announcement.
Yeah.
I promised somebody on Instagram that I would be nice to Kenya today. Because apparently I'm too mean to Kenya on the reg. So I'm going to just do a debate experiment and pretend that I'm always on Kenya's side.
We'll see how long this lasts. Well, as long as we're sharing our promises, this has nothing to do with anything. But I wanted to give my cousin Perry a shout out because she sent me her always perfect sheet. Remember we talked about that? That Ramona had the – remember that like Ramona was looking at the always perfect sheet. And then I was like, wait, that's my cousin's. My cousin Perry sent me one. So thanks, Perry. Everyone go buy an always perfect sheet from my cousin Perry.
Always perfect sheet, okay.
Always perfect sheets, always perfect, okay. Sorry, everyone. Continue on.
I wrap
myself
side.
In my always perfect sheet.
In the always perfect sheet war, I'm on Kenya's side.
Kenya is the human version of an always perfect sheet.
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, we get in habits, and if I don't like somebody, then it's really hard for me to change and then start liking them. And so I thought maybe I have just been too harsh on Kenya because it's not the first time I've heard it this season.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's like a place in my heart that I can just – I'm looking at it wrong and I need to look at it again and just rejudge, you know, rejudge.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to recalibrate your judgments, but also remember it's only Housewives. It's not like a family member. And one of the fun parts about the show is like picking your favorites And, like, it depends on what sort of viewer you are. Like, some people, you pick your favorites, or you pick the ones you hate the most, and that's just what the way they are. And the rest of the series is through that lens, and no matter what, you're always going to love this person. You'll find excuses to love them no matter what, and you'll always hate this person. You'll always twist it to hate them, and that's the fun of it. Some people like to just sort of, like, change things up. Like, every new season is a new, like, deck of cards, and we're going to see how everything lands and choose to pick their favorites, and that's fine.
I think it's because they put fluoride in our water and no one can remember things. That's the conspiracy theory. Ooh. Cleaner teeth, worse memory. Yeah. I don't even remember how yellow my teeth used to be. Thanks, fluoride.
Yeah. So after this tiff about the Celebrity Apprentice settles down, there's, you know, talk about Portia being in anger management. And Andy wants to know if now that Portia has been in... in anger management, do Cynthia and Kenya deserve what they got in retrospect, aka the kick on the boat and the brawl at the reunion? Now that she's at anger management, did they really deserve to be assaulted like that? And Portia's like, well, I've apologized for that. And my Portia voice is really, it's more jacked than usual today. I'm just gonna not gonna even try today. It's just too fun. It's too fun not to try, everyone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's good. You got at least the line out, because that's all she said. She's like, I did apologize for that. And Kenny goes, no, she didn't. And then they show a clip of Portia going,
I admit that dragging you across the floor is my responsibility.
Which is an apology for Portia, I think. I mean,
yeah,
what the hell?
Technically, the words were,
that wasn't the way I wanted to react as a grown woman, meaning you. I acknowledge that that happened.
I'm like,
I acknowledge that you put a bullhorn in my face and forced me to drag you across the stage.
Yeah, it really wasn't an apology. It was, I mean, the sentiment was an apology, but it was not a literal apology. And on this show, unless you hear the word sorry, it's like all bets are off.
Yeah, and that's why Phaedra says, just say it on camera so it's on record. She said, yeah.
It was on camera.
And then they showed that clip, which really didn't win her any games, but, you know. I mean, I really think Kenya deserves an apology. You know, you bring a bullhorn into a place and a magic wand, you're just trying to have fun. I mean, so hit him on the head a couple of times with the bullhorn. Who cares?
Shady. You are so shady, Ronnie.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being completely real. I'm seeing it from a different side, you know? Kenya's just trying to do stuff for the show. It doesn't mean she deserves to get beat up, for Christ's sake.
This is like when Tamara and Gretchen became friends for a season. It's just all weird. You know the bottom's going to fall out. Everyone just wait. At the end of the episode, Ronnie's going to finally, like, break and be like, she's a fucking whore. Now, I'm more sympathetic to Kenya. I mean, I think I feel like I was thinking about it. You know, we actually told this to Lawler when we saw Lawler, but it really applies more to Kenya. Kenya is essentially the Kristen Cavallari of Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know, NeNe came in. She was Lauren Conrad. She was ruling the roost. She left. Kenya took over. And, you know, she's sort of like Kenya is more calculating. She's nastier. But she's the perfect second act for the show. And so I will always admire Kenya for that.
All right. There you go.
There you go, everyone.
So he said, then they start arguing about money again. Yeah. And he goes, well, hey, look, Portia, did anybody else give you money besides Candy? And Phaedra goes, I gave her 10,000.
Oh, please.
Okay. Now 10,000
files to sort, probably. We don't have a paralegal these days. So could you do something with these?
I gave her 10,000 pesos, which could possibly buy a slice of bread.
I got her some Monopoly money. Oh, shit, I still have to do Monopoly.
And then everybody starts yelling at each other, and Portia goes,
when we get together, this is the dynamic I deal with.
Yeah. And then of course, it only takes a few Everyone seconds groans. Later for the dynamic to be like, the women bully Portia. Portia is bullied. When the women get together... they bully Portia. It's just like when she was in high school and she was bullied. And I'm like, you know what? No. I'm sorry. This is full bullshit, Portia. You know, Portia, I love you, Portia. I really do.
But all of them are full of bullshit because he says, are they picking on Portia? She goes, yeah, there's some bullying. And when Kenya goes, well, was it her bullying when she chased her assistant out of that restaurant? And she's like, you were not there for that. And then she
goes, hearsay.
Then she tries to pull out, I was bullied in school. And then everybody's like, well, so was I. Okay, housewives. You're telling me, because I think the ones who said so was I were Cynthia and Kenya. really, the two models.
Yeah.
No one feels for you. You guys stop it. Okay?
Yeah.
No one wants you even to show up to a fucking bullying meeting. You know that Christina Aguilera song, "You are beautiful in every single way." It's all ugly people or like people with some malformation or something. Go ahead and show up to a party with one of those people and start the whole "I'm only beautiful yeah. on the inside." You'll get your ass kicked out that music video real quick.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like I am very sick of people truly, morphing the idea of what it is, bastardizing the idea of what it is to be a bully. To be bullied is like, you know, every day someone's like taunting you, making fun of something that you can't change, pushing you down a staircase, like giving you a wedgie, shoving, you know, throwing stuff at your face, stealing shit from you. That's bullying, okay?
Wow, thanks for the montage of my childhood. Feels great.
Well, you still had that Christina Aguilera song in your head. It's so cruel of me. Ronnie's sitting there crying like that, like the idiot in the smoking commercial.
Yeah, no kidding. What the hell?
But for real, that's like, that to me is what bullying is.
Yeah, it's not people trying to grab your ass a lot.
Yeah, okay? or even like in the modern context, bullying is like people being crazy on Twitter and just sending nasty things like, you're a cut fitness.
Oh,
you're a
my fat God. Person.
Like en masse, you know?
Could but you imagine if we were born in the time of Twitter? I would have just changed my name to Faggot McGee and like bought a house in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Faggot Hermit McGee.
Take my bullying name. I'll be like, fine, I'll live under the name Faggot. Just stay in this little house.
But when you have like seven women and, you know, you're all sparring, just because they spar back or just because they disagree with you, that does not make them a bully. Just because you yap and yap and someone's like, ugh, Portia, shut up. They're not bullying you. They're giving you some common sense.
Yes. And Cynthia and Kenya, you were not bullied in school. Okay, I don't know. I guess that no one had like the perfect time growing up. And yes, everybody was miserable. But trust, you did not get bullied.
Yeah.
Stupid Cynthia. Me too. Shut up. It's probably because your wigs didn't fit yet.
I somehow miss Cynthia saying that she got bullied in school. That seems crazy.
It was two of them who were on that couch. You were like, me too. And I can't imagine that Candy would say she's been bullied. So.
I mean, I can imagine Mal getting bullied because she talks like she just was bullied 5 seconds ago.
Hey. Hey, okay. Hey, oh, Cynthia. Thanks for that locker it's imprint Mal. On my face.
Yeah, no, I was actually pretty comfortable in that locker, so, you know, thanks for stuffing me in it.
I like how Mal is very similar to our Robin from Potomac.
I think it's because they're similar in real life.
Thanks for dunking my head in the toilet. Yeah, I need a wash.
People like that were bullied.
Yeah. Mal was bullied. Mal and Robin were bullied. Robin was not bullied because she wound up with an NBA star as her like boyfriend by the age of 16.
Who treats her like a real princess. Like, that's I think true. That someone who takes that kind of emotional abuse for a really long time was bullied.
Yeah.
There, I said it. I don't have to be on her side. But, you know, Kenya, I could see because Kenya, like the level of sensitivity in Kenya, you know, like she can be angry but then admit when she's wrong, and that shows someone who's been through a lot of bullying. And
I actually would not be shocked if Kenya was bullied. Just the way she acts she seems like the type of person who was bullied and then now she like pays it forward. You know, I mean, don't forget, this is her mom didn't even want her in her life, so you know that probably had some weird scars and people probably picked on her because of that, you know, like people do today.
Yeah. Like now. Like our show. Our show is built on bullying, okay?
Reopening psychological scars for everyone.
Yeah, the reason I do this kind of stuff, and the reason it's like one of the only things I can do consistently, I think is because I got my ass kicked a lot. You know, that does definitely breed where you're like tap dancing so people don't beat you up. Yeah. That's basically Watch What Crappens. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to my origin story.
You know what's weird? I never got beaten up. Like, I felt like I was bullied when I was, like, you know, in like, middle school, but I never was beaten up. It was just, like, taunting, you know? That was good. That was enough for me. But I'm appreciative that I was never punched or lunch money was stolen or any of that stuff.
I got the ass whipped. I was such a girl.
Yeah. Well, when you're a gay little boy.
I would carry my books, like, in my front of my arms instead of on the side of my arms. And that was the big tip-off, apparently, that I was just a woman.
That is really gay.
Yeah, it was really, really
That's
gay.
That's like how Molly Ringwald would hold her Trapper Keeper.
Totally, yeah. You gay. That's where I learned it. I was like, oh my God, I am pretty in pink.
Yeah, I remember it was a thing to wear my book bag. You have to wear your book bag with only one strap. You know, because that's the cool way. Because if you do it with two straps, it's ridiculous. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's always got to hang over one side, which is ridiculous because it's bad for your back. And it's more supportive to have two. It's more comfortable to have two. And honestly, if you really think about it, when you have it hanging over the side, it actually looks more ladylike. So there.
But speaking of weight on your shoulders, you look at like Kenya, and she needs to. Because you have to only get scoliosis on, like, you have to get it in the middle of your back, you know? Like, if she only had one of those in front, she'd be, like, hurting on the only one side. Everybody, don't use one strap. I don't care how good it looks. Think of them as implants on
it's
your back.
PSA. Okay? It's a PSA. Yeah, two center. Straps at all times. Two straps, Trapper Keeper under the right arm.
Yeah, make unless sure you want to get beaten up like Ronnie. Implants. Yeah, make sure your implants are even on both sides, or you're going to get scoliosis unevenly, and it's going to hurt worse than regular scoliosis.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
It's boob scoliosis. Boobliosis.
So Phaedra says, well, I wasn't a witness to that scene, which Phaedra is only talking in court terms.
Yeah, and like not even, episode. She's not even talking in like very high level court terms. She's basically repeating the stuff that I learned senior year of high school when I took law class. So it's all coming back to high school today, everyone. It's all about our childhoods. And I took law with Mr. Clinchy, and we learned things like hearsay and witness and voir dire, you know, and like that's all that she's saying, like the most basic law terms. Because she said hearsay about a million times. It's like,
yeah.
Well, I heard that, you know, I heard that like OxyClean really removes stains. Well, have you seen it? Hearsay.
That is called witness tampering, Your Honor. So then we get a clip of how mean Kenya, you know, or not Matt. How mean Matt was to Kenya. And we get the clip of him in that strip mall, in the hallway, the back hallway of that strip mall, having his breakdown with his dimpled, angry, bald head. Oh. Going, you're manipulative and fundamentally deceptive. Like, have him and Katie from Vanderpump Rules been DMing?
I really feel like this is the impersonation I can do today. I think I can do a Matt impersonation with my Luann voice.
why do we have sex in my car the other night then if you didn't want it? You're fundamentally deceptive. You're fundamentally deceptive on every level.
So Andy is half lawyer and half therapist in this, because he's like, Kenya, Matt never laid hands on you. Is that clear?
Yeah.
It's like, let's get this straight for legal.
Yeah.
Because the way that you guys start talking about your abuse grows exponentially as we go along. It goes from like emotional abuse. You would think that Kenya was put in a blender or something by the end of this.
Well, it could have had that. I mean,
let's bring on the garage to tell us how it feels.
Well, the garage is like, well, I mean, my life has been tough. There was that time I killed that woman from Scream, but I thought that was going to be – I thought those days were over. I thought Rose McGowan would be the end of my dark times.
Annie from Arkansas asks why you would take abuse when you're supposed to be a strong woman. And Kenya's like, what woman hasn't stayed in a relationship too long? I am every woman. It's all in me.
Yeah, that was like a very like beauty pageant answer. She's like, am I right, everyone? We've all stayed in a relationship too long. Am I right, Tina? Where's my girl, Tina Turner?
I don't want to fight no more.
What's love got to do with it? Honestly, Andy, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Am I right?
Oh, good. So then Cynthia, it's like, well, isn't it kind of odd that Cynthia would go talk to Matt after seeing his abusive behavior? And she's like, well, Andy, child, the reason I did that, girl, is because my house wasn't closed yet, and I didn't have enough storyline to keep me going through.
She's like, someone told me that Matt had a real good deal on kitchen countertops, and, you know, I've just been in this kitchen island sort of space, and I just want to get a good discount. And then I thought, I'll ask him some questions too.
And Candy says, he sprayed her cameras black. That's too much. I like that. That's where the line is drawn. Candy's like, he ruined her cameras.
Well, that is scary. That's like a weird, like, sleeping with the enemy thing to do. See? Now. Cameras.
But the garage, like, kicking in the garage door, having all these anger things where he's losing his temper, punching in windows, but it's just the camera, you know? Yeah.
Well, the camera, because it means that he's going to do some shit that he doesn't want documented. That's why. That's why it's so scary. Because he's going to go, like, pummel her in her face.
I guess my point is these ladies have a very high tolerance for the shit they'll take before they get mad.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You even angrily eat an extra croissant at my house. You're fucking out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. If you break a window, I mean, listen. I'm caught up on Big Little Lies, okay? I know the way these things go, all right? You punch a wall, it's all downhill. It's all down the stairs from there.
Oh my God, don't start me on that show because I'll spoil it.
It's all right. We'll talk about it in a bonus episode where there will be spoilers.
Enough. So then
Andy,
yeah,
I think at this point he asks Sheree, right? He says, why would Sheree say that Kenya provokes people when Sheree herself is a victim of abuse, or someone from like Wichita asked that. And this is when Sheree and Kenya just start getting into a big old fight. And basically Sheree is, you know, it's interesting because Kenya is really trying to warp Sheree's words. And Sheree is just saying, listen, all I was saying was I don't understand why you were so scared to travel with Portia when you're there with Matt, who's breaking down your windows and spray painting your cameras. And then then all of a sudden Portia's the concern.
Yes, and then Kenya says, you just stick up for abusive men just like you did in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And all right, Miami. And let's remember back to that, because Kenya was trying to bone that guy, and then he was like, that's what all started. Again, it was Kenya provoking someone. Now, that said, I'm on Kenya's side, because a man should never, and this is true, I actually am on Kenya's side. Yeah. I'm not just faking it. Because, yeah, no matter what, like a man can't be like, okay, well, I'll break your garage now. Like, no, you can't. Kenya's an annoying ass sometimes, but it's because she was bullied and put up with an abusive relationship, okay?
No, I think we all agree that, like, Kenya is provocative, okay? She doesn't get to get a free pass. She is provocative, and she pokes at the bear. But the bear does not get off the hook because, you know, the bear is not allowed to put its paws on Kenya or her garage door or anything she got from Home Depot, okay? It's all wrong. Like, no matter how provocative she is. But she would be in a better position if she weren't so provocative. And I'm not blaming the victim. I'm just saying, in life, there's certain things that there's certain situations that are avoidable. And we all know that. That's not blaming the victim, but it's like, okay, knowing what I know, I'm going to assess the situation and I'm going to do something to not be in it. And Kenya is, that's not one of her strong suits, I think.
Well, you said poking the bear. I mean, if there was a news story about someone going up and poking a bear and then the bear eats their head off, everybody would be like, well, why were they poking the bear?
Yeah.
Now, that's not the same as human beings, because a man should fucking know better. But exactly. You just said poking a bear, and I'm like, well, I would kind of be on the side of the person. You know, I would be on the bear's side, because, like, who's dumb enough to poke a bear?
Well, I think the whole thing with that argument when it comes to these situations, the issue that people have is that it gives the man a total pass. Like, this is the way the man's going to act. That's what he does, and you should have known better. And the man has – there's no accountability. The man doesn't have to change his behavior. He's just a wild man, and he's been provoked. That's bullshit. And that's why when it comes to humans versus an actual bear, it's a grayer area. Matt is a crazy man, or he has issues or PTSD or steroids or whatever. And he's got to control. He should not be breaking windows.
Yes, and if there is a lesson to be learned here, don't date a bear. I mean, Matt's pretty obviously a bear.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, I am a bear, which really sucks. Yeah. But you know what I mean. Like,
Matt's still hot.
In a literal sense. Damn it. It's really hard being on Kenya's side.
No, it's true. So I think the lesson learned here is it's Matt should not be breaking windows. He should never lay a hand on anyone, no matter how provocative they are. That will always be the aggressor's fault. Kenya, though, should be smart enough to get out of that situation.
Well, this argument with both of these women is funny because now, and the reason it's funny, the reason it's funny is because they're both reframing everything that's happened in the past to see who can be the biggest spokesperson for domestic violence. Like, yeah. Kenya's came out with some PSA or something. Sheree will probably go on tour of Marriott ballrooms for the next year.
Well, here's the difference, though. So, like, when Kenya says to Sheree, "You are mocking abuse." You know, there's the cynical side of all this. You know, we've been watching these shows for a long time. I feel like we're all pretty media savvy at this point. We understand the way celebrity works to certain degrees. That you can't escape the feeling that maybe one of the reasons why Kenya stayed in this situation was that people would look at her more sympathetically or she would have a cause. Whereas with Sheree, as we see later in the episode, that's not coming, in my mind, my perception of it, it was not coming from a calculated position where she wants to capitalize off of it. She might capitalize off of it, but it looked like it was something she really look. It was coming from like a deep hurt place. Whereas Kenya,
right.
You sort of got the feeling like she was, you know, putting herself in a situation, perhaps, you know, so that way she would have a storyline or a thing to talk about or a sympathetic angle. Which, if so, it worked on me because I was sympathetic to her during it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Sheree's, like, seriously crying, and then Kenya's, like, outing her for her abuse, which was super uncool. And I didn't really realize that that's what was happening at the time, I don't think, because I would have been furious.
Well, Andy said, he's like, "Candy, why did you reveal Sheree's abuse?" And then Portia just goes, "Taunting!"
Yeah, and Sheree, you know, Sheree did something in that situation that I think she seemed to realize in this. Because once seeing it all back and then reading Twitter, which is like the most honest, brutal opinions ever.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get
I think
many
she realized I was doing that. You know, I was saying, even though she won't admit it now, she was basically saying that. She's like, you provoke him. You know, you provoke everybody and then you wonder why they hit you. Like you provoke Portia and then you wonder why she dragged you across the floor. And that's very typical of abuse victims, because when you're in a situation like that, you come up with ways to justify it. Right. You know, like a lot of abuse victims will say, "Yeah, but it's not all his fault. You know, I do provoke him," or it takes two to tango, and et cetera, et cetera. And it takes a long time to really untie people from that and make them realize, no, fighting is one thing, but beating, like physical abuse, is another thing. And that's never your fault. And you don't ever take that, you know.
Well, what was interesting, and this is not a spoiler at all, but something from Big Little Lies, there was a moment where one of the characters had been dealing with situations like this. And she said, you know, the moment after it happens, that's when she has all the power. And I thought that was like a really interesting perspective I'd never thought of before or heard. And that informs a lot of things that, you know, that could inform behavior in these situations, you know. So if they happen,
like when they're groveling and apologetic, then that's when they're the nicest.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when that's when you have the ability to, when the abuser is groveling, that's when you have, you know, you control them essentially because you are allowing them to come back, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that could be, you know, a motivating factor by why maybe Kenya provokes so much. We're just going to totally just dissect her.
I know.
So oh she's been God. Bullied. She's been abused. We're basically falling into everything that she wants us to think of her.
I know. This is the weirdest episode to always be on Kenya's side. because it's kind of hard. So she said, Andy says, "Well, why would you reveal Sheree's abuse?" And Kenya goes, "I didn't reveal it in that way." I love how they just reframe everything. Kenya's the best at this, by the way.
She is.
She'll
That's
come
why
in
I
with
think...
a whole new way that she studied it herself and come up with different arguments and everything.
No, that's why I'm saying she's like the Kristen Cavallari, because she's so good at this thing that she does. That, like, as much as you hate her, you just have to kind of respect and love her on a certain level. I mean, she is just, like, she's, like, the whiz of just, like, spinning things around. And even if you never believe it, the way she can do it so effortlessly is amazing.
Well, Phaedra is in her Phaedra defense mode this whole time. And we know we have 4 episodes and it's going to get bad with Phaedra. So I thought maybe they would hold that off till the last episode. Nope, here she comes. And she's like so over it and acts like she doesn't want to be there. And she goes, "Yes, you did. You even quacked like a duck."
Well, that
but
was
you
because
have to have seen, I know you have to have seen the season to get it, but it's just hilarious to hear a grown woman say that. You even quack like a duck. And Kitty goes, yeah, because she's a hypocrite. Like ducks. Like just all like ducks. Breadcrumb eating ducks.
Like Donald Duck. I mean, God, he just needs to shut the fuck up already.
DuckTales, there's a pack of lies.
Yeah. I don't believe there's any adventure in Duckburg.
Howard the Duck.
Let me tell you something.
Brainwasher.
All that money in Scrooge McDuck's vault, that's borrowed, okay? He borrowed it for the shoot. It's been foreclosed. Belongs to Magic at a Spell now.
So when Sheree, and you already said this part, but just to get me back on track with my notes, Sheree says, well, if
you don't want to talk about Webby or...
You know, I guess I'm just shocked at how few duck references I have.
All you need is DuckTales. Woo.
Yeah, I went there. But Howard the Duck and then Donald the Duck. I mean, I'm pretty much done with ducks. I like can't think of any more ducks.
There's like the duck that the penguin rode on in Batman Returns.
Yeah, you see? That's grasping. Then you're like, remember that duck that the penguin rode? It's like, it's over. It's over.
I'm happy to stay in Duckburg. That's like, I don't need to go into Howard. I'm happy just to go through all those ducks. There are a lot of ducks there.
Quacks like a duck and walks like a duck. Its name is Kenya. Ooh, burn, Phaedra, burn.
Life is like a hurricane here in Atlanta.
Okay. Life is like a duck. You never know when it's going to quack like Kenya. Oh, God. I love when Phaedra just starts coming out with nonsense, which she does the rest of the show.
Hearsay.
Exhibit A, Your Honor. Duck quack.
Duck quack. I just feel like she always imagines herself at, like, the Scopes trial or something like that. Like, Inherit the Wind, right? Like, fanning. Like a hot Georgia courtroom with, you know, everyone's fanning and wearing white hats. Hearsay.
So, Kenya's saying, I mean, Sheree's saying, well, if she's too afraid of Portia, then why isn't she scared of Matt? Why can't she come on a trip with Portia when she's scared of Matt? Which was not really the fight. Because the fight in that restaurant was Kenya provoking... Portia legit getting pissed, Portia running away, and Kenya following her out, yelling and screaming at her, and then Sheree trying to stick up for Portia, basically.
Right.
But the reframe is that, you know, she's just trying to help her with her abuse or whatever. And then Kenya says, well, it's a fine line between what's provoking and what's not.
Really? Like, it may be a fine line, but it's a pretty clear line, too.
It's a pretty clear line. And Portia goes, reach! Girl, you reaching.
Yeah. Oh, God. So then I think that then there's questions about was Matt hired for the show, because he posted on Instagram that he was. And, of course, Kenya totally denies it. But, you know, I'm sure she threw some money his way. I'm sure. But then again, he's crazy.
He posts on Instagram. It's his cycle of abuse. Instagram. It's his cycle of abuse.
His cycle of abuse is always an ex-pro, too.
And he says, well, did you sleep with him in that truck? And she goes, yes, unfortunately. That happened.
And then Andy's like, so you have a new boyfriend? And she's like, that was between you and me, Andy, a.k.a. she totally told him, so that way he could say it on the reunion.
Yeah. Because Andy and Kenya are just sitting there talking in normal life. He's like, hey, Kenya, it's Andy. Oh, I'm on the way to the store, Andy. Well, that's cool, but Georgia from Georgia wants to know, did you fuck Matt in that truck? I have a new boyfriend, Andy. I don't care.
Well, so she knows. She probably told it to him as like a secret, and she knows that he is such, you know, he's such a piece of work that, of course, he would announce it on the show and be like, oh, but Matt said it on his Instagram.
So... did he say he left 3 magnums in your dresser? Is that the new thing that he said? What did he say to her? He said, well, he also said on Instagram that he'd left 3 magnums in your dresser. And she says, oh, well, that's him. That is something he would post in his cycle of Instagram abuse. And then he said, and he also posted a happy Women's Day thing to Portia.
Woman Crush Wednesday, WCW, hashtag Women Crush Wednesday to Portia. She's like, thanks, no thanks. I just want to clarify, though, that the magnums that Matt left in Portia's dresser were actually just like those ice cream bars called Magnums.
It was DVDs of season 1, 2, and 3 of Magnum PI.
He's like, I'm gonna get it back real bad. I'm gonna have melt some ice cream in the dresser.
Let's see how much Kitty finds happiness when she's got to put something together with only her brains and her wit.
Let's see how she, revenge.
Let's see how she likes it. I leave 3 very large bottles of wine back in her dresser.
I've left you 3 paper clips, a condom, and a piece of paper. Make a gun out of it. Let's see if she can do that.
Matt, that's the A-team. Matt, that's MacGyver.
Why are you always trolling me, Kenya?
I'm sorry I called you a fool, but you provoked me.
The truth is that Matt only watched Cagney and Lacey growing up.
How dare you, Kenya? I watch Man Cops too.
Oh, good. So then it still continues. The next question. Andy just loves rolling around in abuse mud. He always has.
Yeah. And he
anytime
that, like,
it comes
smile.
To abuse, he asks abuse questions like 20 times in a row. So he said, Kenya, you know, Kenya. Patricia from Potomac wants to know, how come you're always having an excuse for Matt's abuse, but you rag on Portia? And she's like, Kenya goes, well, they're very similar.
Yeah, similar. They're very similar.
But they both I love take Similac. Matt, and I've never even been friends with Portia, so that's why. Portia called me Miss America. Yeah. Like the thing she'll never forget.
Yeah. The line was crossed that day.
She says, well, you know, he tried to call me on New Year's, but my phone blocked his number. So he called me from a different number, and he said, I spent New Year's in church praying, and I said, stay positive. Which, that's so nice.
That is really nice.
I guess my
question
is,
maybe she's talking about his hepatitis results, though.
Stay positive. Don't get that healed. Spread that hepatitis everywhere.
The lies you spread. The lies.
So she says, are you over him? And she goes, I haven't even thought about him since Thanksgiving. That's so
very
specific.
I know. That's a very specific thing. She was like, I was spreading butter on my Hawaiian roll. And I thought, Matt, I was throwing a turkey through a window. And I thought, God, I wish Matt were here to do this for me. I was spray painting my mashed potatoes black, and I thought, gosh, I really miss Matt these days.
Oh, God. I thought on Thanksgiving, I want to cuddle with this blanket, but it might have a disease on it. I wonder how Matt's doing.
I was having sex with Matt, and I thought, gosh, I wonder how Matt is.
I love that he says, when are you going to stop hiring actors? Because, and notice that she never denies that. She never. Only says, I didn't hire Matt. Which,
yeah.
I mean, she literally did. I mean, he was her personal trainer and fixed her house.
That's true. I think as long as she's going to hire guys, I mean, I think she did a great job with Matt. It's much better than Walter the tow truck driver, okay? That guy wasn't even attractive. At least Matt has a great body, and he's crazy, and he's fun TV, you know? And he, you know, he breaks windows, you know? He makes an impact. Literally on glass.
I'm going to bust this glass down right now.
He just goes to show us, don't throw stones if you live in a glass garage. It's like poetry, guys. It's poetry.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I mean, his you know, his top of the head wrinkles were so cute when he got sad.
Yeah, I like that you can like literally sucker angry Matt onto any part of glass when he's... when he's pissed off. It's like, okay, you're mad? Then you stick your head on this refrigerator until you figure it out, mister.
I like that his eyes are really close together, so when he gets mad and his eyebrows go up, he sort of just looks like a very confused animal. Like a confused, extremely dangerous animal. Like, and like he looks like an emotionally disturbed jaguar or something. Something that's like sort of cute on a nature special, but you wouldn't want to be near it in real life.
Yeah, my sister once said about one of her toddlers when they were younger. She said, and now I see why they come out so small. Because if they were adult size acting like the psychopath idiots that they act like when they're babies, we'd all be dead. Yeah. You know, and that is kind of Matt. He's like a big, giant baby. Where you're like, Matt, I'm trying to speak rationally with you. And he's like, but you're fundamentally disruptive. You never wanted me.
I feel like Matt as a baby was very resentful to his mother. He's like, wah, 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 wah. Why'd you kick me out of the womb? Wah, 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 wah. Everything was great then. Wah, wah, wah.
You fundamentally manipulated me into sucking my dinner out of your blue mouth.
Are you saying that you did not allow me to suck on your tit last night for breakfast?
Well, that's a convenient narrative. So then Kenya does give an answer that I'm glad she gave, where she said, I'm embarrassed to the women out there who are victims because I sent the wrong message. You need to leave at the first sign of aggression or you could end up dead. And then the camera's like, zoom in on Sheree.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Jeez.
Yeah.
The woman bee. So the next thing is Phaedra bomb threats.
Yes. Yes. So it's a whole segment about Phaedra, and I really like the Phaedra montage because you got to see all the shady shit that she did this past year. And there was a lot of shit. I mean, I forgot that there was a bomb threat. She has a bomb threat in her storyline. Her arc involved a bomb.
Well, he was just a young man who was passionate about his art.
He just wanted to sell his CDs, and all charges have been dropped. So, hearsay, hearsay, witness voir dire.
He walked into the building, they said, how are you? And he said, bomb. And everybody freaked out. It's another example of people not understanding the language of the black male in America.
It's not his fault that he happened to walk into the office building singing La Bamba and singing it incorrectly and causing a massive security scare. It's just a very catchy song that he has a version of on his CD.
He remixed Dong to Dong Dong Dong, and people thought he was saying bomb. It's a sad state of affairs for the remix artist in America.
DJ Mustard has never been so villainized.
So it wasn't only the bomb, obviously, it was everything, and they added in the pregnancy. He's like, well, yeah. A woman who lied about her pregnancy due date or whatever. And he goes, you kept people guessing. So then they show this montage, and his first question back is, so what is the current status of your divorce? And she goes, well, I am divorced officially, but he's appealed again. And he said, well, isn't he engaged? I mean, why is he contesting if he's engaged? Because he's contesting money. He wants more money. Why do you think he's contesting?
Yeah, Phaedra says that she's already paid him $100,000. I don't know. This is what happens when two idiots get married, you know?
Yeah, and that is a low amount, really.
Yeah,
I mean, how? Yeah, he was a sperm donor for two babies. So I think that he gave two babies. That's worth more than 100, right?
And they're really, really cute babies.
They are really cute.
They're like, that's like, girl, that is priceless.
And so Kenya, basically, she's saying she's officially divorced. He's going to still try and contest and get a better judgment. And then Andy tries to move on to, why are you so secret about your dating life? Do you have something to hide? And she goes, there is nothing to hide. You can, what'd she say? You can hook me. Oh, you can hook me up if you'd like to. And he says, with Shamar Moore. And then they show a clip of Shamar Moore, like, licking her chin or something on Watch It Happens.
Yeah, I was just the entire time being like, why am I watching this?
Yeah, me too. I don't even know why I said it. I was just like, in these reunions, I'm like a court reporter. I'm just
me too. So then Andy's like, well, Maria from Lollipop Junction, Minnesota says, was a line crossed when Mama Joyce visited a lawyer? And Candy's like, yes. Which, you know, and she was like, immediately like, yes. She didn't say, well, she just was like, yes, absolutely. But Phaedra was like, you know, I thought that was cool that Candy immediately nipped that in the bud and was like, absolutely yes. And I would have been if I were Phaedra, I would have been happy to have heard that sort of response out of Candy. But Phaedra, you know, Phaedra didn't really take it that way. Phaedra was like, well, I think Joyce's talents as an investigator would be better served investigating what's going on at OLG. I was like, what? Oh, okay.
What?
After calling her deplorable, which is like the biggest slam word of last year, you know?
Yeah, I love that people are so offended by deplorable now.
Yeah. And she's like, Candy goes, what? We opening this week, sweetheart. Because, she's like, your restaurant's not even open. Now, this is where Phaedra just loses every time.
Yeah.
She takes things to fight about that are going to be invalid in a week. Like, you really think Candy's not going to open her restaurant? You know it's going to be open. So why are you slamming her? It just makes you look like a damn fool. You know she's going to at least open it for a week.
Well, I thought that Phaedra was going to come with some allegations. Even if they were going to be fake, I thought she'd be like, well, I thought Mama Truss might look into that, considering all the health code violations of all the rats that are working in the kitchen, you know, serving food to French critics. And like, no, Phaedra, you're talking about Ratatouille, and that's not happening. Like, I thought she would at least come, but instead she was just like, it's
maybe
not
open.
Maybe
if your chef wasn't climbing to the top of the, the Eiffel Tower in Paris, France, he'd have enough time to concentrate on his soup.
Maybe if your chef were less concerned trying to kill that little adorable crab in his kitchen, he would could make a good souffle once in a while.
By the way, one of the best animated openings ever is Ratatouille.
I never saw it.
Climbing to the top of the Eiffel Tower. It's visually amazing. Everybody rent it just for the first 5 minutes. What a film!
What a film, Ratatouille. Ratatouille will be a guest judge on next season's Top Chef.
Yes.
Did you mean to put so much... Whatever, I can't think of
Ratatouille
words.
On Top Chef. He'll be like, I own this soup. And then they're like, okay, today you get to make any soup that you'd like. And he makes Ratatouille and gets kicked off. So that's so Top Chef.
It's just like, you made Ratatouille. Like, you know, we want something different from you. That's all.
Did you mean to bore my tongue?
Did you mean to put in so many herbs to Provence? That was what I was trying to think of before when I messed up my own joke, everyone. That's what it was. Herbs de Provence gets me every time.
Well, you should have Provenced your herbs before they decided to open a dirty, filthy restaurant for Atlanta to enjoy.
I'm not sure I could trust a restaurant that gets their herbs all the way from France. That's not very American, is it?
So then they got into this weird thing where they're talking over each other about the restaurant. Phaedra's insisting that this restaurant's never going to open. And Candy goes, we're opening this week, sweetheart. I know you've been calling the city.
Yeah. Candy starts actually getting in touch with her little inner Mama Joyston because she starts talking a little bit like the streets are saying. She's like, see now, Phaedra, she's calling the city and fun. And we was like, I know you're around there asking around because she has friends in City Hall.
Yeah. You have friends in the city office.
I'm starting to get my Candy falsetto back. This talking is warm. It's warming up my instrument. It's opening it up with getting my false back. See? Now. Riley.
So this is when my favorite part of the reunion happens because she goes, girl. And then Phaedra goes, girl. Making fun of her.
Yeah.
And I just looped that all night long. Girl. 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 Yeah. Girl.
So girl. Girl. Candy starts grilling Phaedra about Johnny as an example of how vindictive Phaedra is. She's saying that Phaedra would be calling around trying to get dirt on the restaurant, and she's vindictive as evidenced by the fact that she entertained these meetings with Johnny, the stupid wedding planner / assistant. And then Candy, I just love that Candy is making fun of Phaedra and her math, saying that according to Phaedra's estimations, Candy only paid Johnny $2.30 an hour, and Candy just goes, girl. What sort of math you doing? No wonder you ain't winning no cases.
Because it's all about math.
Yeah.
Your Honor, my client is not guilty because 25 plus 3 equals 5.
Sidebar.
Wait a minute.
Sidebar. Verdict. Hearsay, hearsay.
Oath. Division, division.
Statute, statute.
Algebra protractor, Your Honor.
Gavel. Gavel bailiff.
So then she goes, well, you can't add enough to pay your employees. And then, you know, this is why Phaedra is the most hated probably of all the housewives, because calling City Hall to try and block permits for Candy is the biggest dick move ever. And I totally believe she did that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to believe that she did that.
Yeah.
And then it moves into not paying Johnny, which was ridiculous. That whole thing was ridiculous, and Phaedra knew it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, she knew, stupid. And it sounds like we're not even getting into it yet, because Andy was like, guys, we'll get into that later, guys. I love when things don't go Andy's way, and he gets his eyebrows go up, and he's like, guys.
Because like, no, he really can't control these women. And he looks stressed out. I mean, the looks on his face the whole time, he's just like, ugh. It's like the one reunion that he doesn't get high before because he knows he's going to have to talk too much.
He has to pay attention. So then Candy is essentially saying that Phaedra just wants to cause drama for her at all times. And Phaedra, this was one of my favorite parts. Phaedra goes, "Goodbye. You think you're that important?" And Candy goes, Girl, hi. Yeah, I do. I was like, that was an amazing clapback.
Girl, so then hi. Andy, girl, hi.
Yeah. So
Andy says, when, you know, Mama Joyce came for you at that OLG tasting thing and Candy pulled her away and made her stop, did you appreciate her doing at least that? And Phaedra says, it was nice, but my mother don't do that. And the, you know, but the people around Candy are allowed to stone me. Oh, do whatever. Which is true. I mean, her Mama Joyce comes on there and just does everything she can to bring down Phaedra. But to be fair, she also did that to her own son-in-law. So
I think it's one Mama thing. Joyce. I think it's one thing for Mama Joyce to do it. I do think it's not terribly great that Candy's employees also do it. I think that, like, Don Juan getting in the middle of it, Carmen's her best friend, but still Don Juan. Like, last year when Candy and Phaedra sort of had brokered a peace, it was Don Juan who hyped up Candy against Phaedra again. And I just think that if you're really trying to, move forward, if your employee starts talking about your friendships, no matter how, like, close you are with your employees, doing it on camera, you got to shut it down.
Yeah. And Candy says, she controls everything like Portia. And Portia goes,
I don't think she controlled me.
Phaedra's like, potato salad.
She's like, XO. And Portia just jumps.
Why did I do that?
It was a special button combination.
Phaedra's like, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
I have 30 lives.
So Andy,
Phaedra, I mean, that's a little Portia in as one of the people in Contra reference right there.
So Andy's next question is like, Lisa from Lots of Hatchy, Lots of Holla wants to know.
Lots of Hatchy, Lots of Holla. They have a great diner there, the Lots of Hatchy, Lots of Holla diner.
I don't know enough geography to keep me going through all these reunions at the same time. It's like 10 reunions a month right now.
Tanya from Bubble Face Falls, Colorado.
Why did you hire security after you said you weren't scared of your client? And Phaedra goes, I didn't hire a bodyguard. It was security. Doesn't everyone have security?
When
like
you
there's
travel.
A huge difference. Come on now. And everyone had like Air Force One staff on there. You had the whole Secret Service following you around in like Chuck E. Cheese shirts.
Yeah. I'm like, just like, doesn't everyone have security when we travel? And just all the other women were like,
No. And then Candy says, well, see, she says she had a bodyguard. Like, now we're going to go through the semantics between a bodyguard and security. Okay.
Yeah.
One doesn't fuck you.
Yeah.
There. Which one is that?
One doesn't turn your life into a Broadway musical that's beloved by many people.
Yeah, one of them doesn't make Whitney Houston roll around in her grave.
So then Andy basically starts confronting Phaedra about her strange timelines. Like, it's kind of weird, you know, like your pregnancy and your divorce line. And Phaedra's response is like, well, if I feel like it's none of your business, then I'm just going to respond with pretty much anything as a courtesy. I'm like, that's not the way courtesies work. A courtesy would be like, actually, I don't want to talk about that or none of your business. Not just a lie.
And then Andy says, well, why did Candy have a problem with you saying Black Lives Matter when you were trying to defend your client? And Candy's like, well, when someone's not acting appropriately, don't just use Black Lives Matter because you tarnish the whole movement.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that.
I would too.
But I also think that that should apply to Sheree, because Sheree was using it like that abusive guy in Miami when he was on the boat, like threatening to beat the shit out of someone. And she's like, you see, it's just like Black Lives Matter. People trying to bring our men down. I'm like, no, that's not really the same thing.
Well,
like,
Sheree caught a lot of
killing innocent people are not the same as fucking people going off and acting abusive, Sheree.
Yeah, but you know what? To be fair, Sheree caught a lot of heat for that from Black Lives Matters itself, I believe. It was a small dust up. I think Black Lives Matter released a statement being like, no, this is not the same thing. Please don't tarnish us. And if it wasn't Black Lives Matter, it might have been Sean King in the Daily News or something like that. But Sheree definitely was corrected on a large scale.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so good.
It is good.
And Phaedra said, because that never really happens in real life. It's funny when real life like comes to kick these women in the ass, you know?
Well, the thing is this. Black Lives Matter would apply to Phaedra's case if it were a situation where this guy was innocently walking into this building and he was like tackled down and like maybe even shot or something like that, arrested. And then it turns out he was there to like deliver a burrito or visit his mom. But he was like this ex-felon who, you know, something was up. There's something shady and there's a reason why it was not put into the spotlight. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. So maybe I'm totally wrong. But as far as I'm aware, and I am the least aware person, I will say, it's something that a movement would have picked up and no one wanted to touch it, probably for a good reason.
Yeah. And of course, she's just trying to dovetail into any brand she can. You know, she's like, well, it was Black Matters. It was also Doritos. And Pringles, Pizza Hut. It's like just trying to like get all of her brands in there.
Yeah.
Phaedra. So she says, well, he was, all the charges were dropped. And it turns out he was completely innocent and nothing happened. And Candy goes, so they shut down the mall for nothing. I just love that she has, fucking Phaedra would have an office in a mall.
So then Phaedra commits the hallowed, or not commits, but she basically fulfills the hallowed promise of any reunion, which is bringing some documents to the party. And so she's like, well, Andy, I just want to show you this. And it was the divorce papers, the finalized divorce papers from last year between her and Apollo. And he reads it out loud and he's like, you know, he reads it. It says that they both have signed it. It's a finalized divorce, district whatever, and judge whoever. And it all seems like pretty legit for a second. But then we find out from Kenya and from Candy that basically Phaedra put the wrong names on the divorce proceeding. Like maybe it was like their stage names
Misspelled his name so they couldn't deliver it to him properly.
Yeah, they wouldn't deliver it to him in jail or something like that. So basically he didn't get it, and that's why it's all appealed. So it's classic Phaedra doing something that on the surface looks legit, but there's some shadiness involved.
But wouldn't he have to sign those papers?
I actually
that's
not
what
understand.
I don't get. I mean,
they're both shady, so who knows where the truth is.
Yeah, because I read that in the blogs while the season was going on that she had basically put his name on to be shady and make him settle for a lower amount. But in order to finalize the divorce, he would have had to sign it. So I'm not really sure what that is. Yeah. And of course, Phaedra's like, well, I did deliver it and every service has been justified. Math protractor.
Math protractor.
Whatever. So who knows? She says, he says, why didn't you want to share it? And Kenya's like, Apollo didn't hear about it either. About the divorce being finalized. And she goes, oh, okay, darling. Like, you know how lawsuits work. And she goes, if I've ever had a lawsuit, I've won every one.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
It's like, that's talking like a lawyer, too. If I have. Like, I'm not committing to anything. But yes, I did pay Walter the $150,000 I agreed on to appear on my season.
Phaedra's just like, prosecutor, motion.
Objection sustained. Like, wait a minute.
Objection sustained, overruled. Motion approach.
You're on a recess. Like, wait, no, not commercial time yet. I object sustained. 2+2=6.
Appeals, federal court.
So, yeah, then we get another, but you're a compulsive liar. What about the baby? And she's like, Andy, ain't none of these ladies paying a dollar towards my mortgage. Okay.
And then somehow I think Phaedra and Kenya start to yell at each other, right? And that's when Phaedra is like, nobody wants you. You're like an old condo that they done converted to a townhome. I'm like, actually, that sounds wonderful. That sounds like a great thing. And then Kenya just like,
so you're against revitalization now? What the hell? She's like, Property Brothers, that's who you are. Whoa. Look at you. You came in here functional and you became an open kitchen. Disgusting.
You're like an old condo that someone came in and changed out the kitchen. And at the end of the day, you told the woman, no, I want to list it. I don't love it.
No one would ever say love it with you.
You are both a flip and a flop. I feel like every time I make a flip or flop joke, you really lose it. Torek. But then I do love that Kenya's response was like, oh, shut up with that rehearsed read. Your rehearsed read, rehearsed read.
Yeah, they're just calling her out now on every single little thing, and everybody's over it. I mean, Portia's really doing a good job trying to stay on this side, but even she's having trouble.
Yeah.
So then we get another girl bye. Oh, Phaedra.
Yeah.
And then, so, kids of Real Housewives of Atlanta, the kid, hey, let's take a break from abuse and tricking ex-husbands into losing all their money to the cutest kids in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was kind of fun. It was fun to see how they all grew up. I mean, Cairo, it was funny to see how Cairo used to be like this little kid, and now Cairo's Cairo. What's funny about Riley is that her face is essentially the same. Like, when you look at her when she was six, she basically has teenage Riley head on top of a six-year-old body, and she just basically grew into her head. And I mean that all in the best possible way. She's a beautiful, beautiful young woman, but it's kind of funny how Riley is so Riley, you know?
She grew into her head.
She did. You know how some people just always look the same? Like, when you look at their baby pictures or whatever, you're like, oh, you look exactly the same. That's what Riley is. She's eternal. Riley.
See? This is the part. Riley. Yeah, this is the part where she was like, Riley, Riley, because they cut to two Riley. Different clips.
Yeah.
And I like also how they put Ace being the newest one. He's so cute. And they're like, you're making a poo-poo. And then it cuts to Phaedra's kids being terrorists in that restaurant.
Yeah. And we also saw Noelle go from being like a little girl to being the face of Cargo.
Naomi Campbell said Cairo has a future. And Cynthia goes, oh. Left out the part about me, child.
That's her ongoing arc. Left out the part about Cynthia.
Everybody does, even Andy.
Cynthia's like, oh, you left out the part about me. And Andy's like, oh, yeah, Naomi said that she also got a new kitchen island. And Cynthia keeps coming over to stand by it.
But then the next question was so rude. It's like, yes. You know that Sheree is all about the coin. Why would Cynthia ask Cairo to model for a Dora the Explorer backpack?
Yeah.
And she goes, girl, I'm behind Dora the Explorer, child. But that is not what we do. Those backpacks were tiny and subtle. They could maybe hold a juice box, child. Our backpacks are huge.
I don't even know how to explore. You know, you could totally imagine Mal in a Dora the Explorer thing, though. Where are we, Diego?
This map is confusing, Diego.
And then she just pauses. Diego, do you know where we are?
Why are we all... Why is there a monkey in my backpack?
Is this like that George Michael song? Monkey on your back, Diego?
Peter's just driving around her in circles. That used to be my explorer.
Peter the Explorer. I explored Atlanta. I found this great space to open up bar 2. It's under another highway.
I got here 5 different ways. Ways.
Peter's ways. Can you imagine Peter as the voice of ways? Hey, turn left. Turn left. Turn left. You're making me drive in circles. Yeah, because I want you to see where I grew up. Turn left. Turn left.
Turn left. He starts like strangling you when you don't turn the right way.
You know. We had a good thing going when we were driving to the left, but now you want to go to the right, you know? He just guilts you for taking the route that he didn't recommend. He recommends the worst possible route that's going to cost you a lot of money. He picks you on every toll road. And you're like, I think I'm actually just going to take this direct route because it's 5 miles shorter. Okay. Well, I'm going to go tell Wendy Williams. What? My nav?
They took the wrong route. I tried to give them the right.
Wendy's like, girl. Wendy's waving her fingers all mad.
Traffic slowed down ahead.
And then Sheree brings in her shade, and she's like, well, you might want to tell Miss Cynthia that Cairo is still waiting on his bag, which I love that she never even gave the bag to Cairo.
And that Cairo's actually
waiting on it. Why wouldn't she have bags for them all there? And yeah. Cynthia's like, well, he did pick it out. She's like, yeah, but he didn't get it.
I thought it was awkward, speaking of Cairo, when Andy is like, oh, I can't imagine what his DMs are like. I'm like, we've seen what his DMs are like. I was like, it's really weird that you're alluding to Cairo's, you know, jerk-off Snapchats to his mom.
Yeah, you're about to make Sheree sob, so why don't we not bring up her husband's...
her son's penis.
Jack-off videos. Yeah. Like, her son's disappointed.
I'm sorry, did I say Bob? Penis. I meant Cairo, yeah.
Yeah. So, DUI. Sheree... okay, so we talk about Sheree's kid, and this... you know, kind of the running thing of the season is Sheree making excuses for men. And it also went back to that Miami thing last year. She's always making excuses for men. And here she goes again. She's like, well, it wasn't drinking. They were at a party and they got pulled over. And the cop said, you've been drinking? And they said, no. But his friend said, we smoked earlier. And then he had to go to jail because he was the one driving. And I told her, you know, be careful who your friends are. It's like, yeah. Why don't you tell him not to fucking smoke pot and drive? How about that?
How about you don't appear on a show with a bunch of bitches who you all pretend to be friends before you tell Cairo, be careful who your friends are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually, no, big, don't do that. Stay on the show, please, point. Please.
Yeah, stay on the show.
You got pet friends? You got pet friends?
So much happens on this show, it's easy to forget things. And Andy's like, well, Sheree, you did go after Nene's son for robbing that Walmart. Do you regret that now? And she's like, yes, because kids are kids, and they're off limits.
So then we get in, for basically the last 15 minutes of the show, I didn't take too many notes because it was, like, so serious. I was like, I don't know what to make fun of. But it was the Bob and Sheree segment where Sheree was really opening up about this abuse. You know, we saw the whole clip package of, you know, Bob making those jokes in Hawaii, which were really, like, uncomfortable and terrible. And Sheree tells us, and, you know, stop me anytime, Ronnie, if I'm, like, glossing over areas you wanted to
talk no, about. I'm totally fine with glossing over this. I mean, how much can you talk about domestic abuse? So
a lot. With us, a lot.
It's so sad.
We can talk uninformed about so many things and be offensive. But either way, Sheree, it was really sad. It was a very raw moment. But I was, like, proud of Sheree because she was talking about how her girlfriends, her mother, they never knew about the abuse. She kept it quiet to protect Bob, to protect the kids. She just, you know, for 10 years, she sat on it. She never wanted to touch it. And then the thing is this, Andy, I was like, you know, Andy, you got to work on your words. Because he goes, I don't think people realize how heavy it got between you and Bob. I'm like, look at Bob. It's always going to get heavy with Bob. Not to fat shame, but it was an easy joke.
I was almost crushed. Literally crushed.
So Sheree thought that he had changed, which is why she considered having him back. But obviously, he clearly has his demons. And, you know, she hasn't talked about it with her kids. She's going to have to talk about it with the kids. But I think what was really so heartbreaking, and what was heartbreaking during the season when she talked about it, and I sort of forgot about it and it came up again, was this story about how one day he just up and left the whole family and she was left in the lurch. And she was really traumatized by that. And we saw that when she told that heartbreaking moment on that boat in Hawaii. And, you know, it sort of came back here and I thought, that's a terrible thing to go through. That's a really, I mean, obviously abuse is too, but that's awful.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, something that traumatic. She's built up all of this, this wall. Wall's up, but she's got like a legit wall. And then once she actually has to stop talking about it and really sees that he's just going to be the same way.
Yeah.
And then it's like she finally let herself feel all that stuff. It's so fucking sad. I mean, watching Sheree honestly sob is not, I don't need a lot of that. I mean, that's so sad. And it's also crazy to see how far she's come from her first season when she was a total asshole.
Yeah. Well, she was probably a total asshole because she was in a really unhappy place in her life, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, that season was amazing because she was such an asshole, because she was such a great villain season one. Wow. Season one, when it was Kim and Nene in their pristine states up against Sheree, that to me is still my favorite season of all time. I'm loath to be that person that says season one was the best, because I hate when people just say season one is automatically the best of things. That's not always the best. But I think with Atlanta, season one was the best. This season, by the way, is up there. This has been a fantastic season.
I think, I'm not sure if this was season, I think it was season two when it happened, but my favorite was when Nene got really jealous that Kim was getting a song written to record, and she was just jealous for no reason. She was mad. And they said, but you're her friend. I mean, don't you think she could be a singer? She goes, if they ever come out with whisper singing.
That was season one.
That was season one.
What was great about that was then it was not only was Sheree the evil one, but that you also saw Nene and Kim start to have a fallout because of that song. And one of my favorite things to see on any reality show is when friends break up. It's not that I'm happy to see friends break up, but I feel like it creates such a real emotional thing, you know, when friends break up, and watching Kim and Nene go through it, you just sort of wind up taking a side. You know, we saw it on Beverly Hills, we see it on OC, and I feel like, you know, it's funny because Phaedra and Candy have had their breakup, but it I have to say, in general, their breakup hasn't pulled me in the way other friendship breakups have, because there's, for the past several years on Atlanta, there's just sort of like this feeling like a lot of these women are doing it for the show. Like, it doesn't always feel totally authentic. So it didn't pull me in as much as others. But this season was really good, just because this season was so over the top. You know, it was like real world Las Vegas, where it's so over the top. Like, none of it really seems real, but you have to just sort of enjoy it for being, you know,
ridiculous.
Excess.
Well, ridiculous. I think the Candy and Phaedra stuff was real, and I like that
it was,
because you see, I like all these, how all these fights begin, because they're always about the same thing through the rest of the series. Like, yeah, anything they're mad about goes back to the first fight, right? And you can tell that's a proven theory, because they'll get really mad and they'll be like, well, remember that time when you said that I was trying to get a free dress? That was embarrassing. It's like, oh my god, that was like, yeah, an offhanded comment about Luann in Carol's first season, and she will never let it go. And in, yeah, this case, it was Candy. Candy gets married to Todd, and it's the typical never talk to your girlfriends again, totally ditch them for the man, and then start taking the husband's side. Right. And Phaedra, unfortunately, is so immature that she gets so upset and starts doing really underhanded things to get back.
Yeah.
And the one with Nene and Kim was so good, because Nene really got mad at the most ridiculous reason. She was mad at Kim because she got a song. And she was paying for somebody to do it. And it was terrible. It was like her daughter's piano teacher wrote a, yeah, country, like, song, like, yeah, don't be tardy for the party.
Yeah,
it was like a
country ditty, yeah.
And you really saw, that was the first time we saw Nene's immaturity really lash, right, out in that angry way. Because most of what Nene does is just ridiculous.
Right.
And it's like she's still mad that Kim is more famous.
I want to amend what I said about Candy and Phaedra. I think I agree that it actually is a totally real falling out. But I think one of the reasons why it didn't, you know, pull me in as other friend fallouts like Vicky and Shannon, for instance, Bethany, Luann, Bethany and Jill, all that, is because, you know, Phaedra is actually very guarded on this show. And, you know, she makes for good TV because she says the funniest things and, you know, she stirs the pot, etc. But when this friendship falling out happened, I think Candy was very honest about how she was feeling, etc. But Phaedra, like, she doesn't give you a lot, I don't think. Or you always question how real it is. And that's why I never got totally sucked in on, like, what's going to happen between these two. That's just a minor point. But I did want to clarify that, because I didn't want it to sound like
Phaedra,
it was a
fake falling
out.
No, but yeah, Phaedra does lie. It's really hard to be on Phaedra's side, even though I always am. Somehow, I just think
I think
she's
on
so
Phaedra
funny.
This year,
yeah, everybody is like, no, and I get it, but I kind of am on her side sometimes.
Not with Candy. I'm on Candy's side at all times.
Yeah, with Candy, yeah, but Phaedra, yeah. I mean, Phaedra just went so dirty. I really do believe she called the city, which is so Phaedra. But it also makes me love her, because that's the kind of bitch who doesn't just need to fight with you. She'll ruin your fucking life, or she'll try.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Lifetime, and so I respect revenge. I respect meaningful revenge, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, because when Phaedra is not doing the bullshit stuff, when she's just being her, she's really lovable. You know, when she's doing Frick or Frack, or when Candy and Phaedra were the littles, or whatever, the shorties, or whatever they're called, they were like, they were great. And that was, it's funny because when Phaedra first came on the show, I really hated her because she had that pregnancy story. She was full of so much bullshit. And like, ugh, this woman is awful. But she, she started to thaw because she was with Candy and they were so fun and they would have fun times together and you really liked her. But she has, you know, she does give two sides. Like, she gives like the professional fake Phaedra, and then she has the fun side. And I think that like during the Candy fallout, you didn't get the honest side. And I would have liked that.
Yeah. Well, that's Shady Faye. Well, that's the end of part two. So we'll have two more weeks of this.
Yes, two more weeks. So we'll be back next Monday to talk more Atlanta. And then, normally the past few weeks we've been doing Atlanta to Potomac. But guess what? Now that Vanderpump Rules is done, we have a full hour to fill on our schedule. So we're going to do this week's Potomac on Friday. So it's going to go Atlanta today. Southern Charm is finally on a Tuesday where it should be. Wednesday, Beverly Hills. Thursday is New York. Friday, Potomac. So if you're jonesing for a Potomac recap, you have to wait a few days. Sorry.
Yeah, come back on Friday. Sorry, okay?
Or just come back tomorrow and listen to all our recaps. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.